The triumphant living Lord Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Now, do you have an amen to that one? That wasn't loud enough. Amen. He's alive. Hallelujah. We sing sometimes the words of an old hymn, I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the vale with him or meet him in the air. The whole subject of the future is an encouraging one or discouraging one, depending on our situation. But there's something about the living Lord that gives us meaning. There is one of two absolute certainties that all of us face. Either we will hear the trumpet and go up, or we will die. Now, let me give a bit of framework for those of you who do not know me or don't know my situation, not aware of all the details. This past May the 23rd, Sunday evening, May the 23rd, the Lord, in his gracious mercy, took my wife of almost 59 years home to glory. She had congestive heart failure. It's amazing that she lived to be 84. The day before, one day before, Clarence Martin in the Mannheim area died of a sudden heart attack. His wife's name was Eleonora. This past Palm Sunday, 3 months ago today, somewhere up front here, Eleonora Martin became Mrs. John K. Brenneman. So the Lord has blessed me with another wife. Now, you have to understand that a little bit in the framework, because I'll be referring to Lois. The title of my message is The Christian Considers Death. And some of you may be thinking, oh, come on. I came this morning, I wanted some inspiration, I wanted a blessing, and he's going to talk about death. Or some of you may think, old man Brenneman has lost his marbles. He's morbid. He's still in mourning the loss of his wife. Well, yes, I still miss my wife, even though I have another one. After all, I lived with her a good many years. That's all part of one's experience. But listen. Listen. The Bible says, and this is my text, Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. That is a reality of life, with the other exception that I mentioned. Psalms 89:48. What is man that, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? What person isn't going to die? Ecclesiastes 12:7. Many of you are familiar with the passage in Ecclesiastes. It's a fascinating passage because it begins with this concept of young people. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Because you're going to avoid some of the problems that you're going to have if you don't listen to it. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And then it goes on and it gives a graphic picture of what happens when this body wears out. Read it, ponder it, think through it. A tremendous example of really what happens in Well, in all of our lives, as our bodies give out. But then I want to call your attention to one verse in there that is also part of this. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return to God who gave it. Yes, the body will return to dust. In one of Lois's hospital experiences, we were together there on a Sunday evening, and we were watching a Christian TV program. And the minister used as his text Jeremiah 28:16, "This year you shall die." What an inspiration if you're in the hospital waiting for a procedure. "This year you shall die." Well, fortunately, everybody that goes to the hospital doesn't die. But anyway, yes, some of us may die within the year. But basically, my text remains the same. Absolutely true. It's appointed unto individuals, human beings, to die, once to die. We will die because the old saying is still true. The old must die, the young may die. Now let me illustrate this. There are many, many experiences that relate to death. One of them is we're all aware that there are millions of individuals who never have a chance to be born. They've been aborted. A black spot on our nation's history. But they all die. They died before they had a chance to be born. Then we move on to the tragic situation of stillborn youngsters. There's a lady by the name of Stephanie Cole who last year in a news article she's interviewed about her book, and the book entitled Still, and this is her experience. Cole had been pregnant for 41 weeks. It had been a happy and uneventful pregnancy, which offered no hint that tragedy lay ahead. But January 5th, 2007, for a reason her doctors could not explain, the daughter Cole was carrying in her womb, an already beloved daughter named Madeline died. Cole and her husband Ricky were shocked and grief-stricken. They left the hospital without a baby and without even a piece of paper to prove that Madeline ever existed. Cole has been among those advocating for Pennsylvania issue birth certificates for stillborn babies. She believes that birth certificates are not only important to the parents who've lost infants, but will be helpful in documenting stillbirths. Stillbirths. And in an audience this size, there's one or more families here who've experienced the pain of anticipating a birth. And then for some reason or other, the little one dies. After a number of weeks, or may be born and die, born dead. Stillborn, they died. They died. About a mile from here, New Danville Mennonite Cemetery, there's a tiny grave. On it are these dates: April 29, March 3rd, a four-day-old infant. That was my brother, Melvin, born, the firstborn of my parents. I don't know what went through my mother's thinking. I suppose in those days you stayed in bed, so I doubt if she had the chance to go to the cemetery and watch her little one being lowered into the grave. I doubt it. What all went through her mind, I don't know. What would my life have been like had Melvin lived? I don't know. But 4 days old, Nathaniel was Eleanor's little grandson, the only son of his father. Nathaniel died at the age of 5 years, cancer, 5 year old. An honor student down at Solenko High School a few years ago loved motorcycle riding. He lost control of his pride and joy, and he died at the age of 16. Michael Jackson, well-known name in American entertainment. A letter at his death, after his death, a letter to the editor of Newsweek referred to him as, I like this quote, quote, a human being who was a tortured soul. He was trying to find love and acceptance, but didn't have the foundation to recognize the false from true. Too bad. So sad. Here he was, poor man. He left his millions. He died at the age of 50. Some of you know of, and some of you enjoy, Schenck cup cheese. Clayton Schenck lived to be 104, but Clayton Schenck died. So, whether they never see the light of life, whether they are 4 days old, 5 years old, 16 years old, 50 or 104, they all died. And each of us will do the same. Not only will everyone die, but death is the most solemn and serious end to the opportunities for any of us and for all of us to make our peace with the holy, righteous God. Now, with that background, I'd like to move into some practical areas. And then you say, well, it's not very inspirational. Okay, hang in there with me, because I'm going to end up on a positive note. But I'd like to now note several practical aspects of this. Number one, believers need to examine their attitudes toward death. There is no question about it. Death is a time of sorrow. Death is a time of loss. At Stephen's death, that said there was great lamentation. They missed him. They were hurt by his loss. Time of great lamentations. On the other hand, you have the story of Simeon. Luke 2:29, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace. Let me go. I've seen the Lord. It's time for me to go home. Psalm 23:4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Christians' examination of death. Death really is the critical test of the reality of our faith in the atoning work of Christ. We sing, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And when it comes to death, that's it. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. For the redeemed soul, death is the joyful release from the limitations of the human body, which at times may be tortured with pain and sorrow. Sometimes it's instant death. Sometimes it's a lingering on. And death is that release. For the terminally ill, it is, I'm suggesting, it's important for the terminally ill individual and the family to talk about death and to talk about heaven. That's the reality. That's the thing we're looking for. So we need to examine our attitude toward death. The second thing, believers need to prepare for departing from this life. Have a will and revise it as necessary to meet the changing legal and family situation. Young parents, it is imperative that you have a will, because if you don't and you are killed in a sudden automobile accident, who is going to take care of your children? It's an awesome responsibility. You need a will. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not advocating lawyers, but you need very careful professional and legal assistance. Try to prepare as much as you can to avoid as many taxes legally. Avoid that you can. Joint ownership, for example, is not a substitute for a will. And have an up-to-date list of your assets. Have a living will and health care power of attorney. If I die, how long do I want to be under that machine to keep me alive? Or, you know, all that. These are legal aspects that we need to take care of. A durable power of attorney, so that someone has the legal authority to act in my if I am comatose because of a stroke, so that my daughter or someone can act as my legal representative to make the personal and financial decisions that need to be made. We need to prepare for departing from this life. Third place, believers should plan a meaningful funeral or memorial service. Buy your cemetery lot, your burial lot, while you're in good health. And if possible, well, this sounds strange to you people over here, but for a lot, it's a reality. If it's possible, buy your cemetery lot and get your memorial stone there. Then there's that much less for your family to wrestle with at the time of death or beyond. If possible, plan to donate parts of your body that others can use. Heart transplant sounds strange to a lot of us, but there are people who are up and walking around because they're moving with somebody else's heart within them, or other part, cornea of the eyes, very various things. Prepare, if possible, prepare to donate parts of your body that way. Write your own obituary. How's that one? Write your own obituary. Well, why not? You know your life. Why not put in there something that brings praise to the Lord? Somebody's going to have to do it, so write your own obituary. Plan your funeral service. Now, let me tell you, you plan your funeral service, you're going to revise it maybe a dozen times. And even you young people, why not put down something? You believe it or not, one of the times on my plans, I had David Thomas to preach the sermon. Well, David Thomas is dead, going to glory, years now. Okay, I've revised it, and so on. But plan your own funeral service. The service should glorify the Savior, not the person. Lift up the Lord Jesus. Listen, don't, at my funeral, don't come along and say, this. Listen, I am an unprofitable servant, and what do you want to say much about me? It's my Savior and His grace that enables me to have a hope of glory. So say something about him. A number of years ago, I attended a funeral service at Hinkletown Mennonite Church. Warren Good had been retired, but he had the service. To this day, I wish I had a copy of that sermon. It was a tremendous evangelistic sermon. Why not? Why not? Why put the emphasis on the individual? It's the Lord Jesus. And when you get to a funeral service, sometimes, and you possibly many times or always, there will be individuals there who have not committed their life to the Lord. It's a time when they're there because, you know, they're obligated to be as family. A wonderful time for a positive message about the Savior, an evangelistic message. Why not? The service should be simple, should be dignified. It should be a meaningful worship service. And it's a time for a lot of singing. We involved that in Lois's funeral. A lot of singing. Why not? The battle is done. The victory's won. Bring hallelujah to the Lord Jesus. The funeral should be a brotherhood experience. I am tremendously impressed by my brothers and sisters within the Eastern Pennsylvania Church. I was at a funeral recently. The funeral director's name was on the thing, and I didn't see anything of any of the individuals from the funeral home. The congregation was taking care of it. And after all, it's a brotherhood experience. Why shouldn't a funeral be a real brotherhood experience? Why shouldn't we provide the ushers? Why shouldn't we provide all the things that are necessary? And I'm also impressed the way Eastern does it. The body is lowered into the ground. And family members and others take the shovel. It's put in the ground. Fill in the grave. There's a note of finality with that. That is just unmistakably real. Now let me give a couple other practical implications. Out in the hallway, there is a copy, and there's not enough for you visitors, but somebody, see one of the ushers, they will print more if necessary. Most of you at some time in the past have received this in your mailbox. It's an article by Brother in Ontario. Okay, can't lay my hands on it here, but anyhow. It deals with funeral and cremation practices. Take it along. If you need a copy, like I said, somebody will make some additional copies. Psalm 90:10 says, the days of our years as are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80. Ah, that scripture is no guarantee of any of you reaching 70 or 80, as I pointed out before. But in the land of the living, let's put greater emphasis on the eternal. Someone has put it this way, what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Well, good question. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? How much of our lives are counting for eternity? But let's make it practical. We need to practice simplicity and stewardship. Now, in today's economy, it may be necessary to hold down 2 or even 3 jobs, but let's try to live within our means. We don't find ourselves in a very wise situation. If we have $10,000 credit card debt and we just pay the minimum each month, not a good testimony, not a good financial situation in which to be. I think we ought to increase our emphasis to glorify the Lord Jesus. We need to be much more aware of being salt and light. That's why we're here. Salt and light in a corrupt, horrible society. Salt and light. Something to present hope to a needy, to needy people around us. We need to pray for our government leaders And if Christians don't pray for them, who's going to? This is part of what we can do here and now because we are here. We need to support organizations like Christian Aid Ministries, a World Missionary Press, and others. We need to do what we can to be a positive witness. We need to anticipate heaven, but we need to keep on being active for Christ here and now. Psalm 116:15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." That time comes, and indeed, precious in the sight of the Lord is his death, is the death of his saints. I love the an illustration I came across. For those of you who are not familiar with it, World Missionary Press is a wonderful organization that prints little scripture booklets. And they make them available. They print them, I think, 300 languages or something like that. They make them available. The Lord's using it. And they had two workers there a couple years back that were quite faithful in helping in their work. Walter and Viola Kine. They were Mennonites. Experience didn't relate to World Missionary Press, but this was in World Missionary Press material. Here's what I like. On Sunday, December 14th, this was 2008, after preaching at a small church, Walter and his wife Viola were en route home with friends when the car they were riding in was struck by a vehicle entering the intersection. Though none of the other three people involved in the accident were seriously injured, both Walter and Viola died of internal injuries. Walter was 94, Viola 89. Walter was 94, Viola 89. God called his faithful servants home together. 89 and 94, and he was preaching that Sunday morning. Hallelujah! Didn't put him on a shelf. Small church serving him. Let's put it this way. The Lord may call some of us home through that kind of a situation, but not all of us. So we have to, that's interesting. We have to work otherwise. Okay. Now, while I've attempted to be very, very practical and some of this, maybe not too inspirational, I do want to end on a positive note. But let me say, unless the Lord Jesus returns, every one of us will die, but redeemed by his blood, the best is still ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised day, promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Please stand and join in singing as two songs are put on the screen. Mm-hmm.
Your voices in triumph.